First of all, before we start, the show has been out since 2016. It's been downloaded over 2 million times. I look on Apple Podcasts. I have less than 400 reviews. How the hell is that possible? Go on Apple Podcasts and leave a goddamn review of the show. Now let's get to the business.
Stayolay.com.
Work on your game.
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 Approaching the game aggressively. That aggression with that confidence to dominate a game.
Dre Baldwin, DreAllDay.com.
Work on your game.
You listen to the show every day to be the best version of yourself. And every episode here, we talk about locating and activating that inner drive so you can be the best you from within. That's why I'm telling you about my book, The Mirror of Motivation, which I am making available free for a limited time. This is a free physical copy. If you go to mirrorofmotivation.com to claim your free copy of this book while supplies last, you will get The Self-Guide to Self-Discipline, over 100 pages of finding that inner drive, locating that discipline that you need to build up your confidence and become the best version of you no matter what your goals are in life. So go to mirrorofmotivation.com and claim your free copy of The Self-Guide to Self-Discipline while supplies last. We are all here, so let's make the most of it. You are tuned in to the show where you bring out your discipline to show up day after day to do the work, your confidence to put yourself out there boldly and authentically, and the mental toughness within you that moves you to keep showing up, doing the work every day, putting yourself out there boldly and authentically, even when the last time you did it, it didn't work. Even when the time before that, it didn't work. Even when it hasn't worked at all yet, that's the mental toughness that you're going to bring out of yourself here. And on top of all this, we got to put this in motion. So you're going to get the personal initiative, the go-getter energy that moves you to make things happen instead of waiting for things to happen. Putting all this together, what you get is the mindset, the method, the philosophy, the book. If you don't got the book, get the book. And the podcast called Work on Your Game. My name is Dre Baldwin, also known as Dre All Day. And today's topic is stop ignoring your talents. Definition of talent is a natural aptitude or skill. And I've talked about talent many times in the past. On the show, you'll be able to get the full archive of the podcast in the game group, which we'll talk about at a future date because we're organizing that, putting it into the right space right now. So it's all good and ready for you. When it's ready, it'll be ready soon. But anyway, in the book, Good to Great, because we're going to talk about it enough today. Before I talk about Good to Great, we're going to talk about talent enough today that any past episodes that you can't get to or can't listen to, trust me, you will get access soon. So just stay tuned for that. But back to our point. In the book, Good to Great by Jim Collins, I mentioned this book a lot of times here on this show. If you haven't read it yet, I don't know what you're waiting for. The question that is asked in this book, he asks a lot of questions, but here's one of them. What could you be the best in the world at? And the book, Good to Great, is talking about companies, talking about corporations. But this is something that, as I said in other times that I've referenced it, even though the book is about companies, I still got a ton of value out of it that I could use individually. And this is a great question that each one of us should ask ourselves. What can I be the best in the world at, or at least the best in my neighborhood? If you can't be the best in the world, what can you be the best in the area at? Best in the family, best in the neighborhood, best on your team, best in the company. Why this topic even is the topic? Because I want you to keep that question in mind today. What could you be the best in the world at as we go deeper into this subject? And the subject is the subject because many people out there are either not utilizing their talent. You know what it is. You're just not using it for whatever reason. Many reasons there are. And or you have no idea what your talents are because you haven't begun to seek within yourself. Today's aim is for me to plant seeds of some ideas that may possibly move you to action of mind and body. You understand? Mind and body, meaning you start thinking critically about this, thinking proactively, positively, constructively about it, and you actually move yourself and do something to start taking advantage of what your talents are. Now, you're going to have to do the work, the mental work you're going to have to do, the physical work you're going to have to do. You can enlist some people to help you, but those are investments that you're going to have to make. Either way, you're making an investment. Time, effort, energy are investments. Money is an investment. Asking it is an investment. All of those are investments. So you're going to have to make the investments to make this happen one way or another. But I'm going to plant the seeds in your mind here today of what exactly you're going to be investing in and what outcomes exactly you're going after. That's what I'm going to give you here today, or that's what you're going to give yourself because you're going to listen and you're going to do some thinking. All right, because I can't supply the thinking for you. Point number one, today's topic is stop ignoring your talents. Understand that your talents are your head start to success. You ask anyone out there, if I was to ask any person who's listening to this right now, thousands of people listening, do you want to be a success? Everybody would say, yes, yes, I want to be a success. Or maybe you believe you're already a success. Would you like to sustain that success? Yes, everybody would say yes to the question of succeeding. So when you're going after success, understand something. You're not the only one going after it. You are in competition with a whole bunch of other people. And while success does exist in abundance, everyone can be successful. Success is not a zero-sum game. Someone does not have to lose in order for you to win in most areas of life. There are some small subsets of areas where someone does have to lose for you to win. For example, in the NFL, only one team can be the champion, but every player who plays in the NFL can also say they succeeded in making it to the professional level of playing football. So there are subsets of success in which it is zero sum, but in general, success exists in abundance. Everyone can have it at the exact same time. So when you're going after success, especially when you're in one of these subsets where maybe someone has to lose in order for you to win, or maybe everyone can't win at the same time, or maybe there's a limit to how many people can win. For example, in the NFL, there's only so many players who could be in the league at the exact same time. You don't want a fair fight. When you are going after success, which is limited, success that is zero sum in any way, shape, or form, or maybe it's just a time thing. Maybe you just want to achieve a certain level of success before someone else achieves that same level of success. You want to make a certain amount of money before another person makes that money. It's not that when you make it, they can't make it either. The money exists for everybody, but you just want to get there before they get there. Understand something. You don't want a fair fight when you're going after success. You don't want everyone to have an equal level playing field. You want to cheat, but in an ethical way. And I'm going to explain what I mean by that. You want to have advantages that other people don't have. Why? So you can separate yourself from them in a definitive way, in a way that's obvious to whatever the scoreboard is or whoever may be doing the choosing. If there are some judges who get to do the choosing as to who's winning, you want your win over that person or those people to be so obvious that everybody knows that. You want an unfair advantage. And the quickest way to gain an unfair advantage without knowing who you are, without knowing about any of your resources or the people that you know or your associations, connections, anything, the quickest way I guarantee anyone listening to this right now can get an advantage in life is through leveraging your natural abilities that other people simply do not possess. If you do that, you will give yourself an advantage that other people can't. They can't get it. They can't duplicate that because you're the only one who has it. Your successes will come more easily to you. Not to say they'll come with no effort at all, but they'll come to you more easily and you'll enjoy your success and be more willing to work at it because you're doing something that you're actually good at. Doesn't that just make sense? If you work at something that you're not naturally good at and the successes are not coming quickly, the success is not coming at all, but you still have to put in that work, it's hard. It's a strain. It's a struggle to put in that work on something in which you have no talent, no natural abilities, but you're trying as hard as you can. And some people are able to will themselves to do that and push themselves and pull themselves to doing that, but it's like they're running in sand. I mean, some people get really strong and really tough and really determined. They can make it a far distance running in sand. But wouldn't it be much easier to run on concrete with some sneakers on, some good running shoes on? You probably get a lot further, a lot faster. Or even if you didn't, if the person running in sand is just in way better shape than you, your run would be a whole lot easier than theirs. You want your run to be easier than the other person's. So then when you level up, when your skills get better, when you get tougher, you get stronger, you'll be able to go further on the exact same amount of energy. You want an unfair fight. The quickest way to get an unfair fight is to leverage your natural abilities, because I guarantee not everyone has the same natural abilities that you have. And as you move up in levels, that natural selection, there'll be more and more people who have some of the same natural abilities as you, but there's always something that can separate you from the group. I don't care how naturally selected that group is. You will enjoy it, the process, the work, the effort that you're going to have to go through, because that will exist no matter how good you are. But you'll enjoy it and be more willing to keep doing it if you're doing something that you're actually good at, because you'll be seeing results. You'll be seeing that you're making progress. You'll have something to show yourself for it mentally, emotionally, if not anything else. If not tangibly, you'll at least have something to show yourself to know that you're getting better. You can feel that you're getting better when you're working with your natural aptitudes and your natural skills. Now, you will develop more aptitudes and skills with effort, but you want to start with a base of something. All right. Don't show up with absolutely nothing. You don't show up to a potluck dinner with no food. All right. You got to bring something. Point number two. Today's topic is stop ignoring your talents. Your talent is, in a tongue-in-cheek way, I say the second most valuable thing you have next to your email list. But it's the most talented thing, is the most valuable thing you have, rather, your talent. It is your gift. Your talent is what separates you from everybody else who is working hard, everyone else who has goals, everyone else who has all the other motivational, inspirational stuff that you hear people talking about, including me. Setting goals, working hard, struggling and striving, being disciplined, being confident, believing in yourself, being mentally tough, being a self-starter, being a go-getter. There are a whole lot of people who are doing all those things in life. How are you going to separate yourself from all of them, especially when you're in a zero-sum game? Especially when you're in a competition that's based on the clock. Especially when you're trying to win before those other people win. How are you going to separate yourself from them if they're doing, they have all those traits that you have? It's going to be very hard for you to separate yourself, if at all. So what separates you is your talent. It's the most valuable thing. That gift, other people can't replicate the gift. They can replicate working hard. Someone knows that you get to the gym at 6 a.m. and they've been getting there at 6:30. They can start coming at 6 a.m. so they can make sure they're getting in just as much time as you. They can replicate that. They can copy that. All right. They can hack that. You can't hack talent. You can hack the way somebody structures their online course. You can hack the way somebody put together their website. You can hack someone's workout program. You can hack someone's whole speech pattern. You cannot hack a person's talent. In other words, this is the one thing that nobody can copy. Nobody can replicate this one. No one can beat you at this if you utilize it. If you're not utilizing it, then it's not an advantage for you anymore. Now you're in an equal race. You're in a fair fight with a whole bunch of other people, and you might not win. Make the fight unfair. You want to do this. And understand something. You will work hard on your talent. Just because you're talented doesn't mean you won't work hard. When you have talent, you're probably going to have to work even harder than everyone else because you have more aptitude. You have more potential. You have a higher ceiling than everyone else when you're working in an area of talent. But while you're doing this hard work, you'll be happy to do so because you can feel that you're in the right spot. You can feel that you're doing the right thing even when things are not yet working. This is the art of knowing what to do with your life. Anyone out there who's not quite sure what you're going to do with your life, understand I said this is the art of knowing what to do with your life. It's not a science. There's a difference between the two. The science of something is like mathematics is science. Now, I know math and science are technically two different things, but the point that I'm making, math is science in that it can be proven, it can be laid out in black and white, and if someone's able to prove it and lay it out in black and white, there's no dispelling it. There's no arguing it. It's not a matter of opinion. It's black and white. It's just fact. Right there on the paper. There's only one fact. That's science. Art is not black and white. There's not only one right answer, so to speak. Everyone has their own way of looking at it. Beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. Figuring out what to do with your life is an art. It's not a science. Now, I know there are people out there, probably plenty of people out there, probably someone doing something right now, trying to make a science out of what to do with your life. Regardless of how many they are and regardless of what they say, figuring out what to do with yourself is an art. Because listen, what you're doing with yourself right now might not be the same thing you're doing with yourself next year or 10 years from now. 10 years ago, the thing I was doing with my life was playing basketball. I wasn't thinking about podcasting. Now it's different. 10 years from now, who knows? We might not even have podcasting anymore. It might be virtual reality. I might be sitting on your couch talking to you one-on-one, 1,000 of you at the same time. That might be what we're doing 10 years from now. Who knows? But the art, that's why it's an art of knowing what to do with your life, because it's not always going to be the same thing. So the science follows a formula. Art does not necessarily follow a formula. So while you're working hard on your area of talent, once you've identified your talent, you're working hard on it, you'll be happy to do so because you know that you're in the right spot. And again, that knowing is not about any mathematical formula. There's no numbers that I can give you. There's no, if this through these three things happen in order, that means you're doing the right thing with your life. That's not the way that it works. And don't allow anyone to tell you that, because no one else can tell you what's right for you. Only you can know. And again, that knowing is art, not science. It's more on the about feel than it is about some numbers or some data or this happened and that happened. It's not something that you can tangibly hold in your hand. It's something that you need to know within yourself. And that's why you got to know who the hell you are. Get more in touch with yourself instead of allowing somebody else to tell you who you are. Point number three. Today's topic is stop ignoring your talents. Pursuing the opportunities that come with talent are often much less safe than your other life or career options. I'm going to say that one more time. This is a really important point. Pursuing the opportunities that present themselves or that you cause to happen based on your talents are often much less safe. In other words, more risky than the other life slash career options that may be available to you. In other words, let me say this another way. Pursuing the opportunity of maximizing your talent is not and will not be a walk in the park. Maximizing your talent. Now, utilizing your talent, applying your talent, that could come very naturally and easily to you. Maybe there's some people who are listening to this right now. You're utilizing your talent in life right now because it just can't. It comes so naturally to you, so easily to you. It's almost like you're not even working and it's just working in your favor. Okay. I'm not talking about just utilizing your talent. I'm talking about maximizing it, meaning getting everything you could possibly get out of your talent. That's not going to be a walk in the park. That's going to be hard. And it's going to be harder work for you to maximize your talent than it is for someone who has no talent to become good at the same thing. In other words, let's say a basketball player who's talented is going to have to work harder to maximize that talent than an untalented player has to work just to become good at basketball. Because to maximize talent, there's going to be a whole lot asked of you. As the saying goes, to whom much is given, much is tested. Much is expected. Much is demanded. And everybody's watching. That's the other thing about being talented. Everybody's paying attention to you because they see the natural ability. They want to know how far you can take it. See, the person who has no talent, ain't nobody watching. Nobody cares. How far are you going to go with that? Your ceiling is only but so high when you have no talent, but you decide you're going to do something. But when you have talent, that ceiling is so high, everyone wants to see how close to the ceiling you can get. And if you come up short of the ceiling, that's the one thing that you're never going to be able to forget. You'll never be able to forgive yourself for coming up short of that ceiling when you're working on a talent. Now, when you're working on something that you're not too good at, you could probably hit your head on the ceiling a couple times because that's as far as you're going to get. But when you have talent, man, it's way up there. You see how high you got to go to get to the top of that? How high you got to go to reach that ceiling? Are you willing to put that work in? We don't know. It's not about what you say. It's about what you do, right? Pursuing the opportunity of maximizing your talent is not a walk in the park. And understand there are some leaps, L-E-A-P-S, some jumps that you're going to have to make in order to get to it. In order to get to the ceiling of your talent, you're going to have to take some risks. You're going to have to do some unsafe things. You're going to have to push yourself into some things that may not be so cut and dry. They may not be so, I know that this is going to work out, and if it doesn't, then I can always come back. There are going to be some situations that don't look like that you're going to have to jump into in order to maximize your talent. Now, you could do pretty good off your talent and stay safe. If you want to maximize it, you're going to have to make some jumps. You have to jump off some cliffs. And here's the secret. Let me tell you this right now. It's a disclaimer for some of you who are feeling a little bit antsy about what I just said. Most people cannot stomach this risk. So this ain't for everybody. Most people can't stomach this risk of putting themselves in a situation where they could lose badly and trying to maximize their talent. Thusly, you know what these people do? They just completely ignore their talents, knowing what would be expected of them if they paid attention to their talents. So they ignore them instead because it's a safer option. And they play the game of life as safely as possible. And listen, I'm not judging these people. I'm not saying that something's wrong with them. I'm just pointing this out to you and I'm presenting it to you as an option. I'm telling you that you could choose to do this and no one can tell you that you're wrong for doing it because it's your life, it's your talent. If you decide to not utilize it or not maximize it, nobody can tell you that you're wrong for it. Actually, plenty of people could tell you that you're wrong, but you don't have to listen to them. It's your talent, it's your life. You can choose to make the most of it. You could choose to not. Nobody can tell you that you're wrong for doing it. Actually, I just said that. People can tell you that you're wrong for doing it, but you don't have to listen to them. All right? You don't have to tell yourself that you're wrong. It's your life. All right, have I said that enough? So people ignore their talents, play the game of life as safely as possible. See, the definition of ignoring, the word ignore, is defined as refuse to notice or acknowledge, to disregard intentionally. A lot of people are doing this with their talents. They're ignoring them. But understand something. In order to ignore something, you have to know that it exists. So you can't ignore something that you don't know is there. See, if I don't know that you're in the room, I'm not ignoring you. I'm just unaware of you. But if I'm ignoring you, that means I know you're there. I'm just acting like you're not. I'm just pretending like I don't see you. I'm just acting like I don't hear you talking. I'm just going to pretend as if I didn't hear you say my name. I'm going to pretend like that question was not asked. See, ignoring means you have to be aware. You can't ignore something unless you're aware of it. So when I say in today's topic, stop ignoring your talents, I'm not telling you to find your talent or identify your talent. I'm telling you already know what the talent is, but you're just not utilizing it. You are refusing to notice it, refusing to acknowledge it. You're disregarding it intentionally. And if you ask around enough in life, you'll meet many people, in my opinion, too many people, who are not doing what they really want to do with their lives. If you ask around enough, you talk to people long enough, if you employ the skill of asking questions and listening, as we talked about yesterday, do this often enough with enough people, you're going to find that there are so many people, I would say the majority of people in the world, majority meaning more than half, the majority of people are not doing what they actually want to do with their lives. That's a tragedy. Unfortunately, for many people, let's say my generation and maybe anyone older, those opportunities to do whatever they wanted to do, they were not always as readily available to them as they are to us right now. Starting with people around my generation. So let's say people who are into their 30s now. When I got out of college, that's when social media, we weren't even calling it that then. Social media came around probably about 5-6 years after I graduated from school. So anyone who's older than me, maybe you didn't have that. Not maybe. You definitely did not have that opportunity to just do anything that you wanted to do at any time. You might have been able to assimilate it to it later, but you might have already chosen your path before then and got yourself in something that maybe you couldn't get out as easily as you wanted to. Any of you who's under the age of 35, all right, you have no excuse. You're 35 and under, you have no excuse because all this stuff is available to you. Self-publishing, YouTubing, podcasting, the internet, building a business from your house off your phone without getting up off the couch. That wasn't available to somebody who's 45. It wasn't available to somebody who's 62. It's available to you though. And if you're 45 or 62, listen to this right now, you also don't have an excuse now because it's available to you now. I mean, there's nothing stopping you except you. So as I was saying, opportunities were not always as readily available to everyone as they are to all of us now, starting with people who came of age around the time that I was getting out of college with this thing called the internet. But many people have settled into positions that they're in of any age. There's some of you 25 who have settled into a position that you don't really want to be in, doing something that you really don't want to do. You won't admit it, but you know this is not what you really want to do. People settle into these positions because they feel like they have to. If you're listening to my voice right now, understand something. Regardless of your age, you have no excuse. And I want to tell you one more thing on top of you not having an excuse. There are risks involved. Risk is not an excuse, in my opinion. To many people, risk is an excuse. Because the risk, they can always say, well, look, if I do this and it doesn't go right, then this bad thing will happen. That's their reasoning or their explanation or whatever word they want to call, whatever softener they want to use for not jumping in and taking that risk or jumping off that cliff and taking that risk or whatever they consider to be a risk. I understand it. I understand what you're saying, but I don't agree with it. I've heard people say how they worked full time for, let me give you an example, like in entrepreneurship, I hear people say this often. Of they worked full time at whatever job they were working at and they built their dream business or whatever they were doing. They built their business on the side while working full time. And so they got to the point that the dream, the side business, surpassed what they were making at the full time business. And then they safely got rid of the full time business, not the full time business, the full time job and started running their business. So they built their business on the side. And so the business was bigger than what they were doing full time. And then they were able to drop the full time thing and just run their business full time. They were able to safely move from working full time to running their business full time. Or I hear somebody say how they saved up enough money, what in entrepreneurship we call the runway. You save up enough money as a runway, so to speak, to give themselves time to make their business work. So they save up a year's worth of runway. So I give myself a whole year to make my business work while all my expenses are paid. My housing is paid. My food is paid for. The kids' daycare is paid for. My car insurance is paid for a whole year. And I got a whole year to make this business work and make me enough money before I might have to go get me a full-time job because the business is just not working. I heard people say things like that. But I want you to understand something. It's not always that smooth. I've heard some entrepreneurs say this as if, and I've heard entrepreneurs say things like, you know, entrepreneurship is not risky. The best entrepreneurs minimize risk, and everything doesn't have to be risk. It's actually less risk than doing anything else. I don't believe that that is always true. Actually, I know that that's not always true. There are some risks that you're going to have to take to maximize your talent and be who you want to be. And I'm using entrepreneurship as an example, but it doesn't have to be about being an entrepreneur. You will not always be able to walk from where you are to where you want to be. If you remember just one thing from this episode, remember that. You can't always walk there. Sometimes you got to jump. And if you don't make it to the other side, you're going to fall. I'm telling you straight up, that's what it is. Now, you got to decide, knowing that, if you're still willing to jump. Many people won't jump. Many people hear that and they say, okay, I'm just going to stay safely right here where I'm at. I'm going to back up off the edge of this cliff and I'm going to just chill on this side where I'm at. Some people take the jump and some of them don't make it across. I'm telling you that too. This is not a guarantee. If you're looking for a guarantee, the only guarantee in life, what do they say? Death and taxes. Everything else is up in the air. It is not always smooth going from point A to point Z, wherever you're trying to get to. It doesn't work smoothly for everybody. Some people, maybe they can make that smooth transition, just walk into where they want to get to from where they were, but not everybody. Sometimes you got to jump off the cliff and grow your wings on the way down. If you happen to not make it to the other side, you can fly back up. You may not have to do that, but if you're not willing to do that, your talent may end up being wasted. And this is all metaphorical here. I'm not talking necessarily. It doesn't necessarily have to be about business. It can be, but it doesn't have to be. You may not have to take a huge risk in order to maximize your talent. But if you are not willing to take a huge risk to maximize your talent, you probably won't do it. There's a book called Relentless, written by Tim Grover. Now, Tim Grover was the trainer during the majority of his career of a guy I mentioned as a virtual mentor by the name of Michael Jordan. And one of the things Tim Grover talks about, and Tim Grover is he's a trainer. He helps play basketball players with their off the court and on the court skills, helps them with their mindset, all this stuff. Very well respected, well-known trainer. He's trained Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Dwayne Wade, several others. Now, in his book, Tim Grover doesn't so much say it, but he alludes to it. He kind of talks around it because I don't think he wanted to say it in so many words. But one of the things that he alludes to in his book is that many players work with him for some period of time, but they don't keep working with him year after year after year. And the reason is, Tim says this more directly, is that they just don't want to make the investment. Even though, Tim says, they know that he can get them in better shape and more ready to play in the NBA than any other trainer out there, and his proof is in the pudding. Those names that I mentioned, even if you don't watch basketball, you know them, right? Michael, Kobe, Wade, I don't even have to say their other name. You know their names, right? Even though the proof is in the pudding, a lot of players don't want to keep working with Tim Grover, even after they have worked with him, because they don't want to make the investment. The investment is, first of all, you might have to come to the physical location that Tim Grover's in, and as of when he wrote that book years ago, he was based in Chicago. Maybe some players just don't want to spend their offseason in Chicago. Or they don't want to pay the money that Tim Grover charges. He probably charges more than most of the trainers you've heard of these days. And Tim Grover's probably going to work you harder than any other trainer out there is going to work you. Those are the investments that you got to make. See, a lot of people think investment is just about money. Investment's about where you're going to be at physically. Investment's about where you're at mentally. Investment's about the amount of effort that you want to put in. All of those are part of investing. It's not just money. And a lot of people use money as an excuse for not investing. And when you don't invest, you can't make a return on investment. All right, so where are you going to go? One of the things Tim Grover said in his book was, I had this highlighted in the book. He said, if I push a player harder than he's ever been pushed before, his results will double in half the time. Let me say that one more time just in case you miss it. He said, if I push a player when I'm training him harder than he's ever been pushed, his results will double in half the time. The challenge is, here's the challenge that Tim Grover says he has with this, is that I'm not sure every player is ready for that push. I'm not sure every player is willing to be pushed that hard. I'm not sure every player is willing to go that hard, that much, over and over and over and over again. Because they will get amazing results, but do they really want to go through that in order to get it? Because if they don't do it, mind you, Tim Grover, he's working with the best players in the world. These are NBA basketball players or guys who are trying to get to the NBA or about to be drafted. They're the best of the best. So they're going to have a career whether they take the push or not. They're still going to have a career and make money playing basketball. So why do it? Why risk that effort? Why risk that energy? Why risk that money? Why risk that time? There are only a few who did. Again, we know their names. Jordan, Kobe, Wade. Are you willing to make that investment? Are you willing to take that risk? See, investing is risky. Can we agree? Any of you in the investment world, you would agree that investing is risky. Investing is not guaranteed. You invest money in real estate, it's not guaranteed you're going to make money back. You invest money in the stock market, it's not guaranteed you're going to make that money back. You invest money in building a business, it's not guaranteed you're going to get anything back. You invest money in hiring a coach or going to a seminar or a conference, it's not guaranteed that you're going to get a whole lot of value back from doing it. But investing is a mindset, people. It's not about the, it is a science to investment, but it's more of a mindset that you're willing to do it before you even get to the part of what you're going to get out of it. So let's recap today's topic. Now that we, have I said everything I need to say here? I have. Let's recap today's topic, which is stop ignoring your talents. The definition of talent is natural aptitude or skill. In the book, Good to Great, the question that is posed that businesses ask themselves is where can we be the best in the world? Not just good. Where can we be the best in the world that we differentiate ourselves and dominate? Have you asked yourself that question? Do you have an answer to that question? If you don't, need to figure out what your talent is. And this topic is about planting the seeds for some ideas that may move you to action of mind and body. You got to do the work. Point number one, your talents are your head start to success. When you're going after success, you do not want a fair fight. The quickest way to get there is leveraging your natural abilities that other people do not possess. Things will come easier to you, not no effort, but easier to you, and you'll enjoy it more because you're seeing that you're actually getting results, even if you're working hard. Point number two, your talent is the most valuable thing you own. It is your gift. It separates you from everyone else who is also working hard, also has goals, also is determined and motivated and all of that. Even when things are not working, you'll feel like you're in the right spot. Knowing that you're working with your talent is the art of knowing that you're in the right place. It's an art. It's not a science that you can do through a formula or an Excel sheet. It's an art. You'll know when you're doing the right thing. You got to try things to figure out what that is. And point number three, pursuing the opportunities that come with talent are much less safe than your other career options. Like I told you with Tim Grover, you could be a talented player and make a career playing basketball without ever working with the toughest trainer who's going to push you the hardest and make you do the most and probably charge you the most money. You could still have a great career without doing that. So that risk of the time, effort, location, energy, and money, why make that risk? Most people don't have an answer to why I make that risk. That's why most people don't take up the challenge that he offers. Or even when they do, they don't come back to do it again and again and again. Why? Because why? For what? Why do that when you already know you're going to be good anyway? That's a question that you got to answer for yourself. In order to make it through your talent to where you really want to get to, you got to take some leaps. You got to make some jumps that are risky. Jumps that you might come up short on. Jumps that may not pay off, but you got to be willing to make the investment anyway. A lot of people ignore their talents to avoid having to make those jumps because they know that's what's going to be required of them if they were to do it. Because they're smart. They know. I would have to make a jump. I would have to take some risk. I would have to make some big investments if I maximize my talent or if I even acknowledge my talent. So instead, they ignore it. Definition of ignore is to refuse to notice or acknowledge, to disregard intentionally. In order to ignore something, you had to be aware of it. So it's not like you don't know you have talent. It's just you're pretending to not be aware of it. Unfortunately, before I get to that, there are a lot of people out there who are not doing what they really want to do with their lives. Or maybe they're doing it, but they're not doing it at the level that they want to be doing it at. And the real reason a whole lot of people are not doing what they really want to be doing is because they're ignoring their talents. They're acting like they don't have these specific talents. They're just doing other things that keep them looking busy, keep them active, and maybe even paying off well enough, quote unquote, for them, but they're not maximizing their talent. Thing is, for us these days, with all the information that's out there, all the people like myself who are sharing information, maybe like yourself, there's no excuse for you not doing what you need to do to maximize your ability. It's not like you don't know what to do. It's just a matter of you not being willing to do it. And yes, there are risks involved. Yes, you might fail. Yes, you may not make a return on that investment. Knowing all of that, are you still willing to try it? Most people ain't. I've heard people say, in business, for example, how they worked full time, built their business on the side until their business surpassed their full time work. Then they safely moved over to running their business, or they saved up enough runway and made their business work safely with no risk involved. Some people, it works that way. A lot of people, it doesn't. Here's the thing you got to know. It is not always going to be smooth. It does not always work for everybody. Sometimes you got to jump off the cliff. And even if you come up short, you can grow some wings on the way down. You may not have to do it, but if you're not willing to do it, your talent just might get wasted. That's for you to marinate on. Now, you want to learn how to bulletproof your mindset so you can be that mentally tough and do what you need to do. I made a 20-minute video that I sent to your inbox about bulletproofing the way that you think, the way that you look at your life. One specific tip for bulletproofing your mindset. Go to workonmygame.com/bulletproof. Workonmygame.com/bulletproof. And I will give you that video straight to your inbox. Work on your game. Dre, all day. There are a lot of episodes in the back catalog of this podcast that I reference all the time. And finally, we have workonyourgamepodcast.com. Go there. You can get access to the archive of the show, all the publicly available episodes, and some bonuses that I'm going to give you that I'm not even going to tell you about right here, and a whole bunch of cool stuff that is coming very soon. So you better be there before the cool stuff comes, or your ass might miss it. Workonyourgamepodcast.com. Go there ASAP.